On Thursday, February 27th, we checked in with one of our go-to guys on state politics, Chris Powell, editorial writer for the Manchester Journal-Inquirer. Chris checked in on a few of the hot topics going on, including the push to get rid of the religious exemption for vaccinations in Connecticut. Chris Powell from the Manchester Journal-Inquirer. Chris, how are you, sir?
Well, I was listening to your news, Paul, and I think as soon as we're done, I'm going to go upstairs and hide under the bed.
Look, you know, Chris, it's you know, these things tend to happen. We are, as I said earlier, way at the beginning of the show, you know, we are all slaves to Mother Nature, as high tech as we think we are in every gadget we have. But all you need is some storms or a disease outbreak like this. And it's, I think it's a sobering reminder.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think there's a little too much fear-mongering here. You know, that, you know, this month at least 7 people in Connecticut died from the ordinary flu, and nobody here, as far as we know, has contracted the coronavirus, but nobody gives a damn about the 7 people who died from ordinary flu. I mean, last winter in the United States, something like 80,000 people died from the ordinary flu, and, you know, nobody gives a damn about that either, but here we're freaking out because there's a new form of flu, and, you know, nobody cares about the ordinary flu that is always among us.
Yeah, and you look, Chris, at what it's doing to the financial markets today. I mean, you got people, their heads are spinning because, you know, whatever concern is tearing into their 401ks over the past week.
Yeah, well, there are some real problems there. I mean, the quarantines in Asia are, you know, shutting down much of Chinese industrial production, and that's going to cause a lot of problems for, you know, business around the world, and that's real. But I'm certainly getting the impression that we're being told that, you know, everybody's going to be dead by next Thursday, and that's not the case.
You have a couple of columns I want to talk about, Chris. One that came out today, and it's interesting. This all has to do with a case that's garnered a lot of attention, having to do with a carjacking that started here in Fairfield County, ended up in the death of a young man. But you're pointing out in this one a kind of an interesting irony here.
Yeah, the problem in that, or one of the problems, I guess, in the case of the young man from Norwalk who was you know, carjacking the car and leading the police on a chase to West Haven, where he got stopped and shot by a state cop as he was just sitting in the car. It didn't seem to be a danger to anybody at the moment he was caught. What I think is a terrible irony here is that the minority, the black and Hispanic legislators in the General Assembly, are just silent about the unaccountability of the state police and ordinary personnel investigations. So the New Haven Register asked the state police for access to the personnel file of the trooper who shot the kid in West Haven, and the newspaper was refused access to the file because the state trooper contract gives the troopers the right to prevent ordinary public access to their personnel file, and we have a special state law in Connecticut that allows union contracts for government employees to trump the Freedom of Information Law, to prevent the Freedom of Information Law from operating in regard to state troopers and university professors and certain other employees who have managed to get a contract nullifying the Freedom of Information Law. Well, I'm just appalled that the minority legislators who are usually complaining about police brutality or excessive violence by police toward young minority men have got nothing to say, apparently, about these contract provisions and what's called the supersedence law. The supersedence law allowing the union contracts to block access to personnel records provides no benefit to the public. This is just a giveaway to the special interests, the government employee unions. And yet the minority legislators, who ought to see this better than anybody, not only support the supersedence law, but they've supported the contracts that authorize the unions to prevent disclosure of files of police officers, even when the officers are shooting young minority men. The minority legislators ought to be raising hell about this and putting their colleagues on the spot. There is no public interest in letting government employee unions block access to government personnel files. The only purpose of that law is to conceal misconduct by government employees, especially police officers, and especially when they shoot somebody.
And Chris, yeah, I remember when that was okayed, and, you know, people like yourself brought that up, and I, listen, I understand there's a certain level of privacy that people have that's guaranteed by certain, you know, by certain labor laws, but the fact that that was put in there, and as you say, you know, nary met with, you know, nary an ounce of pushback from some of these people, again, I think it's a sobering reminder of how things really work in this state.
Well, yeah, this state, our state government is operated first and foremost for the convenience of government employees, and this is a very compelling situation that should be brought up to change that. It should be a first step toward making the government accountable again. That law allowing union contracts to block public access to public documents is abhorrent.
Chris, your column that's coming out, I believe, on Sunday, if I have that correct, I have it in front of me here. I think your next column deals with something, but I got to tell you something. I got bombed with this week on the program here with a lot of calls, and that has to do with the measure that came out of committee on a 14-11 vote a few days ago that would eliminate the religious exemption that a few thousand kids use every year not to get vaccinated here in Connecticut. And I know you have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, my problem with the protest of the bill to repeal the religious exemption for vaccinations is that the objection that's being raised about vaccinations is not religious at all. There's a bunch of people who believe, as is their right, that vaccinations are unsafe or more dangerous than the diseases that they prevent, and they don't want their kids to be required to be vaccinated before going to public school. Now, I don't mean to really argue that point. I don't think that there's much doubt about the science. You know, when I was growing up, we had polio and smallpox, and those are diseases of the past. They were horrible diseases, and they were eradicated because of a vaccination. And I'm afraid some people today, not having lived through that history and not being aware of it, are just taking it too lightly. But the problem here is the religious exemption is being used for purposes that are not religious at all. There's, as far as I can see, there's nothing in any organized or even informal religion that says the, you know, creator and preserver of the universe forbids vaccination on doctrinal grounds. The objection to mandatory vaccination for school kids here is simply the belief of their parents that vaccination is unsafe. There's nothing about God or religion in this. They are just using the religious exemption as a pretext. There is another exemption for vaccination. That's a medical exemption. Some kids risk their health by vaccination. They have conditions that are aggravated by vaccination, and you can claim an exemption that way. But the religious exemption has nothing to do with the objection being raised. Certain people just don't think that vaccination is safe, but it has nothing to do with religion, and so it's being misused. My second problem with the objection here, Paul, is that state government has the right to establish certain standards of public health in public institutions, especially in schools. It establishes certain standards of care and treatment for children everywhere. Parents cannot beat their children with barbed wire or lock them in cages as discipline. The state government has authority over people's children in that respect as well. The state government has this authority. And further, if God forbid, some unvaccinated kid whose parents, you know, did not want to get him vaccinated, comes down with some chronic crippling ailment as a result, you can be damn sure that those parents, if they are not of very comfortable financial means, will end up going to state government looking for financial support and care for the kid while he's disabled. So the state government has an interest in the health of kids even when they're not going to public school. But a compromise has been offered here to grandfather the kids who are refusing vaccination now, to let them to continue going to school without vaccination, while the new law would require vaccination for all kids. I think that's a pretty good compromise. It's being rejected by the hysterics and the anti-vaxxer side. But I think the Democrats who voted for that bill in committee were very courageous. They were being yelled and screamed and chanted at by the people in the hearing room and outside, and it took a lot of courage for them to stand up for public health that way.
Chris, hang on. We'll be right back to you. We've got a follow-up on this. I'll ask you first, though, traffic and weather together on the sixes right here at 416 on WICC. A few more minutes here with our buddy Chris Powell from the Manchester Journal-Inquirer. Chris has a couple of columns, one out today, one coming on Sunday. The one coming on Sunday having to do with this current dispute at the Capitol. A bill that came out of committee 14 to 11 that would get rid of the religious exemption for first-time students in school getting a certain amount of inoculations. Chris, a lot of the complaints I've had on this bill say, well, okay, we understand why people are bringing this up, but why now? In other words, you know, they're saying, well, we did have that outbreak of measles that was in Westchester County, you know, last year among mainly a religious group there. So a lot of the opposition I'm getting from legislators, too, who I've had on the show here is, well, this is an overreaction. Why are we doing this now? What would you say to that?
Well, the health authorities are concerned that the percentage of the student population that is vaccinated has been declining slowly but steadily. And their opinion is that you need 95% vaccination in your student population to achieve what they call herd immunity, that if you can maintain a 95% vaccination rate, odds are you're going to prevent any serious outbreak. Now, you know, that's the scientific expert opinion. People may dispute it, but that's what the state government is inclined to go by. And as they see the vaccination rate slipping and more people misusing the religious exemption, they're, I think, properly concerned.
I have spoken to members of the legislature, Chris, and especially of the fact that we're in an election year, which seems to have quelled for the moment the toll debate. It looks like it may quell the marijuana debate as well, at least to some point. I'm getting from them and from my sources at the Capitol that there are a lot of legislators who are squishy on this and would kind of like to see this bill that got out of committee kind of be tabled and not have to vote on this year.
No, I'm sure there are. I mean, I'd like to see the coronavirus go away. I'd still like to see the ordinary flu go away. I'd, you know, like to see a lot of diseases go away. But the public health people are concerned about this, and those diseases are not going to go away or suspend their transmission just because we're going to have an election in Connecticut this year. Look, you know, legislators are always squishy about anything controversial, and that's ordinary democracy. You have to appreciate that. You have to listen to constituents, but I think in the end you've got to make a judgment as to what the public interest is, and sometimes the public interest is just bigger than the loud noises you hear in the committee room.
Chris, thank you again. New column today. We'll have another one as we previewed for you this coming Sunday. Chris, take care. We'll talk with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Chris Powell, Manchester Journal-Inquirer.